Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coast to coast.
And we are back, Pharrell, coast to coast, hour number three here on a pain-free Friday. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us as we head into the weekend. College football championship weekend. We talked about Utah and USC. Big one tonight in Vegas. 8 o'clock East kickoff there as the Trojans try to book themselves a spot in the college football playoff. Moff, there is another game tonight. We have the Conference USA title game as well. 7:30 p.m. Eastern, my Roadrunners of UTSA, Texas San Antonio, who have been so good to me over the past couple of years. They are taking on North Texas. This is a home site game, not neutral. It's in San Antonio at the Dome. This total has now gone up to 70, as usually the Roadrunners play some wild games. I did see a stat, Moff, that the last couple years, the dogs in these group of five conference championship games not only cover a lot, they've won outright a lot. I don't expect that tonight. I think the Roadrunners win. But over to 70, Mafia. Points, points, points.
I'm with you on that one because I'm not going to pretend that I've watched as much Conference USA college football as you have this year. I know you were big on UTSA. I know you love them. You know, that 8.5 does worry me a little bit because when you look at the numbers, these are two teams that put up the same amount of points. They put up the same amount of yards. Their defenses both stink and barely show up. So if you're going to go that way, you know, if you can look at those numbers and say, I don't know about the, you know, the spread, well then, like you said, points over 70.5, still, I'll go over that. You know, if you get me up to 75.5, 80, maybe I got to worry about it. But as long as it's staying there when both teams are putting up 35 points a game and not going to stop anybody, let's do it. Shootout style down at Texas.
Big 12 title game Saturday, high noon East kickoff at Jerry's World. Kansas State and TCU. TCU looking for the 13-0 season. All of the people that do this stuff and the rankings say that even if they lose, they're going to be in. I don't even want them to chance it, Moff. Win the game. They had a big comeback win over Kansas State earlier in the season. I'm on TCU. It's now 2, by the way. It's gone down from 2.5. And 61.5 is the total. I'm on the Horned Frogs.
I'm with you too. And like you said, everyone's trying to talk about what happens if teams lose or doesn't, you know, do not lose. The only ones that they think are maybe at risk is USC. And even if they win, they say they might be out because of the love for Ohio State. I don't want that to happen. I want there to be a stamp on every one of these top four that they won their conference. No question about that. They should be in it because if there is, then we know the committee is corrupt. That if you're going to take a team with the same amount of losses that didn't win their conference versus one that did, I want it to be all about the teams that won their conference. I think that always should be a big part of it. That's why I can't wait for this 12-team playoff because automatic qualifiers by winning the conference is going to be awesome and huge, and I think it should be that important. I think TCU takes care of their business. I know Howard has been awesome stepping in for Kansas State. They've been a tough team, a scrappy team all year, even before him with Martinez throwing the ball all around. They put up points, but TCU, they have no problem with the comeback. Even if Howard has a good start, TCU has come back a lot this year against teams. They're not worried about it. They're never out of it. I think they're going to win this one.
I am with you. Let's make it happen. Next, LSU and Georgia, SEC title game in Atlanta. This game lost a lot of juice because LSU lost last week to Texas A&M. 17.5, 52.5 is the total. I am on the under, and I am on Georgia. This screams 38-10 Bulldogs tomorrow.
I'm with you on that one as well, because Georgia, while we always think about them as a great defensive team, because they are, they shut down everybody. They've been putting up points this year. And I don't think LSU is going to be able to stick with that. The combination of the great defense Georgia has and the offense putting up points. LSU let me down last week against Texas A&M. That was an embarrassing loss to me. I know it's been a good season for Chip Kelly, but I don't think there's a situation here. You know, there's always the letdown with Georgia where you're in no matter what. So do they try to run it up? I don't think that that's the thing that factors in, because LSU, I think they know no matter what happens, like, oh, well, we can win the SEC for our coach in his first season. They don't care about that. They know they're not going anywhere else besides the bowl games that are already predetermined probably for New Year's Six, you know, outside of the playoffs. So I think that they're not going to give it their all. I don't think they're not going to go crazy. I think Georgia runs it up in an essential home game. Don't tell me Atlanta, Georgia is not going to be a home game for the Bulldogs.
Yes. We welcome in our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast on a Friday. Carver, High, and Mafia in for Scotty. SiriusXM 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have you with us. American title game, Central Florida, Tulane. They played a couple weeks ago there in New Orleans, and the Knights got it done. They're catching four here tomorrow. Very lucrative game, Mafia. The winner gets the New Year's Six bowl spot in the Cotton Bowl and a lot of cash. I like Tulane this time to bounce back after losing to them a few weeks ago.
We got to diverge at some point, and I guess it's going to be here. I'm going to go UCF this one. I think they've been playing great. I like them to take over and win this game against Tulane. I think it's going to be close. It might be, you know, come down to a final push here, but getting those 4 points, I love it. I'll take it. You know, if it ends by a field goal late, that still works out for me. I'm going to go UCF.
I'm going to skip Harbaugh because I don't need to listen to him. He's going to destroy Purdue tomorrow night in Indianapolis. But at least I'm glad Purdue's in the game because they could score points. Iowa would have been a complete bore in this game. Maybe the 16.5, but definitely over 51, Mafia. 45-21 Michigan tomorrow night in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm not sure which way. I mean, I want to go Michigan. They should blow them out. I might lean Purdue because people like you keep talking them up about putting up these points. I know they can score, but I know they can't defend. So can they, you know, get that balance and not let Michigan just throw the ball over top like they did against Ohio State? Either way, I think you have the better bet there, the over.
That is right. 51.5. That's what I like the most. We'll come back. Two or three other college football games. We have some fights tomorrow. We have NBA games tonight. A lot more to do. Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Friday. Carver, High, and Mafia for Scotty. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back for El Coast to Coast on a Friday. Carver, High, Mafia in for Scotty. He'll be back on Monday right here, Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Before we finish everything else up, Maf, of course, you have to get involved with the BetMGM World Cup Any Goal promo. All you got to do is bet $10 on any World Cup game, and you get $200 in free bets if any team scores a goal. Would have been good in the Swiss-Serbia game today. Use bonus code QATAR2022, QATAR2022. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Fire it up. World Cup knockout stage starts tomorrow. Last couple of college football championship games, Mafia. Clemson and UNC. Also a lot of juice out of this one. Clemson lost last week. Carolina's lost the last few weeks. It's 7.5. 63.5 is the total. 2 weeks ago, I loved North Carolina in this game. Now, not so much. They really have not impressed me the way they lost to Georgia Tech and NC State. I like the under 63.5. That's all I'm going in this game.
I'm still going to go with UNC. I know they haven't looked great recently, but as Clemson, no. I mean, especially when you get to the point that last week they're trying to take the ball out of Shipley's hands on the return and hand it off to these other guys that no one even cares about. I mean, they're just trying to pull ridiculous plays now because they know they can't trust their offense and their quarterback anymore. DJ has not been the quarterback that they expected him to be. He has been lackluster and sometimes just downright awful. I think that it's going to be a lot closer game than 7.5. You give me a touchdown and a hook, I'm going to take the chance with North Carolina to keep it close.
three other games tomorrow. We have the MAC title game in Detroit, Toledo, and Ohio. The Bobcats haven't won a MAC championship since like the 60s. I'm on them. I think they're the better team. They're the dog. They're getting three. Coastal Carolina and Troy in the Sun Belt title game. Normally, I love Coastal in these spots, Mafia, but sounds like the coach is going to take the Liberty job, Jamie Chadwell. Sounds like Grayson McCall, the quarterback, not going to play. That's a bad recipe. Troy's a good defensive team. And the Mountain West title game. Give me Fresno State and Jake Haner, who did not play when they were on the blue turf earlier this season and got blown out. The outright win at Boise for Fresno tomorrow.
I'm with you on that middle one there. I'm not going to go with the other two. I'm not, you know, as experienced with you as following these smaller schools. But like you said, Coastal, just too much going on right now between the coach, everything, all the interest in him. He's got to be, you know, he could say all he wants that he's ready, he's prepared. There's too much distraction going on around this team right now. And that hurts you, you know, when you get to bowl season and especially when you get to right now. I mean, it's bad enough when it's in bowl season and the coach leaves and you got the, you know, the interim or the new guy trying to coach you who hasn't really been the guy in charge. But right now, when you're getting into the conference championship already and there's already the distractions, you're already talking to teams, you're already not completely focused, I don't like that.
All right, Moff, let's quickly do the fight stuff this weekend. Who's this tomato can that Fury's fighting tomorrow night? Let me just tell you, we do this all the time with boxing. Once again, I didn't even know that Fury was fighting tomorrow. It's not even at night. It's in the afternoon at Tottenham. Who's this tomato can he's fighting for the third time?
You know, there's just so much going on with boxing, and there's so much not being pumped up about boxing. Mike, we talk about this all the time. They never really give you any notice of what's happening. They never care. I mean, also fighting tomorrow, you got, Chocolito Gonzalez is fighting, a name that you know that we didn't know was happening. Next week, Teofimo Lopez returns. Your boy Mick Collins fighting in Belfast. Bud Crawford's fighting in Omaha. Did you know any of those fights were happening? No, because boxing does not promote well anymore at all. This fight, the fight that nobody wants that we're getting anyway, you have, you know, your boy Tyson Fury coming out of retirement. I mean, he fought in April. It's not like this guy was gone for 3 years like he was last time or something doing cocaine. He's just hanging out, said, I don't want to do this. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, we'll give you more money. He said, okay, I'll come back. Fighting Derek Chisora because he wants to fight Usyk. Usyk didn't want to fight again until next year after defending his belt against Joshua. So he's giving the money to this guy who he fought and beat twice already and saying, hey, you know what? I respect you. You're at the end of your career here at 39. How about another, you know, money fight here where you get some cash and I just get to beat you up for a couple rounds? This one, I'm going Fury. I'm going by points. They're rolling with him going by TKO, DQ, KO on BetMGM -300. That's the favorite. He's -2500. There's no point betting the money line. -300 for the knockout finish. I just don't think he really cares that much about this guy. I think he knows he can coast to it. I'm going to take him by points at +250. I'm going to make it unanimous decision at +333. And then on the other side, we have some MMA and we have some bare knuckle going on as well, which are going to be much more interesting than this fight at 1 o'clock on ESPN+.
UFC fight night, of course, I always ask you, is there anybody that I know who's fighting and can I actually watch it?
You do know, and you can watch. It's going to be at 10 o'clock Eastern, down in Orlando, on the network, ESPN, and headline, Wonderboy.
A freebie for him Stephen tomorrow Thompson. Night? They're letting you watch the fight? Wow. Okay. Wonderboy.
Wonderboy Thompson back in action here against Kevin Holland. Anytime you see Wonderboy as an underdog, you kind of like, maybe, can I take him? Can I get that money? But hasn't been great lately. Lost two in a row, four of his last six. And he's been showing that he has holes in his game, you know, at this age. If you can get that reach advantage of him, the way he fights that karate style, if you can make up for that and you can get your hands on him, take him down like Burns did, pick him apart like Muhammad Bilal did, then it shows that he's just not the same fighter that he was when he was a young guy. Going against Kevin Holland, who's a lot younger, who lost to Chimaev but won two in a row before that and is going to have a 6-inch reach advantage, that'll make up for him sitting back in that karate style. Taking Holland to win -175. Think it goes the distance at +150. Then at welterweight, Brian Barberena versus Dos Anjos. Dos Anjos is a legend. This is all about who controls his fight, because right now Dos Anjos a heavy favorite in this, even though he's lost three of his last five fights. They don't think that Barberena can keep it on the feet, where Bam Bam has had a lot of success, won his last three. I'm going to take the chance because you're going to give me +400 on a guy who could pound out an old guy and beat him up and, you know, maybe make him pay for trying to take those takedowns. I'm going to take my shot at +400 with a little bet here. And also at heavyweight, Tai Tuivasa versus Sergey Pavlovich. Now, Tai Tuivasa, again, an underdog. When you see a guy like that, a knockout artist who gets plenty of wins, you say, can I sprinkle it on him? I thought about it. I debated it. Not going to, because Pavlovich, Sergey here, has got a lot of knockout wins himself. He's 16-1 in his career, 13 KOs. The dude gets finishes a lot in the first round, his last four of the UFC, first round finishes, and he's going to have a 9-inch reach advantage. So when you get finishes and you can do it from outside on a guy who's smaller than you, I'm going to take you minus 225. Him by KO is minus 135. They think it's going to finish that way because it's minus 750 for someone to get knocked out. So I'm going to say minus by 135 for KO for Sergey. You want to take a chance? Maybe for plus money, you can go over 1.5 rounds at plus 125 and hope these guys don't finish each other in the first 5.5 minutes here.
And finally, you, of course, have us covered here on Sports Grid every week with the bare knuckle fighting. They have an event tomorrow, BKFC 34. Anything good there?
Yeah, you got two title fights in this one, and you could actually bet on BetMGM. It's been a long time you haven't really had odds on the BKFC. Now you do on BetMGM, and you got two title fights, like I said. At the top, Luis Palomino Baboon is defending his belt for the fifth time. He's undefeated 7-0 in the BKFC against Tom Schoaf, the best mustache in combat sports. A guy who's pretty good, at light heavyweight. His record isn't great. I mean, lightweight, but a lot of those fights were up higher at 165, 175. Now back at 155, he's been a beast. I still think Palomino pulls out the decision here. Francesco Ricci defending his title up at 185 against Dave Mundell. Ricci, the favorite here at minus 165. These guys know each other well. Used to train together down in Miami. Then Mundell went up to Tampa Bay and started up a new camp there. And you also have Howard H.D. Davis fighting again down in Hollywood, Florida. He's had a lot of success there. He's the number one ranked featherweight. No champ in that division, so he kind of is the de facto champ. Coming off a great draw against Jimmy Rivera, the former UFC fighter. We'll see if he can rebound here and get back in the winning ways.
There you go. Plenty of fisticuffs this weekend to win some tickets on, that's for sure. Later on, Mafia, before we get out of here, after I talk to Adam, we'll do pick a couple of NBA games you like. And there's only three NHL tonight. We'll get a couple of the NBA games in before we do get out of here. In fact, Maf, let's squeeze in the NHL, because in 30 seconds I can tell you, Nashville's at the horse track against the Islanders, Ottawa's at the Garden against the Rangers, Columbus is in Winnipeg against the Jets. The New York parlay tonight, Moff, the Isles and the Rangers, the horse track and the Garden, put them together, they both win.
I'm with you, too. The Predators had to play overtime against the Devils, upset their streak. Now they got to go play the Islanders who are hot. I'm on the Isles. Rangers beat up on the Senators the other day. Senators are just bad right now despite all their moves in the offseason. I'll throw in the Jets, too, just for fun.
There you go. Pharrell Coast to Coast will come back. Sports Grid NFL insider Adam Kaplan. Double shot. We get you ready for week 13 in the NFL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Friday. Carver High, Mafia in for Scotty here, Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Every Friday, we do the double shot heading into the weekend with our Sports Grid NFL insider, Adam Kaplan, to get the scoop, the skinny, and everything else for what is a massive week. Tons of great games on Sunday. But Adam, week 13 couldn't have started any better way than last night in Foxborough. Yeah, the score was 24-10, but the Bills were much more dominant than that 14-point difference says. And Adam, my favorite part was with 2 minutes left, Bill doesn't get the onside kick. He has all three of his timeouts. Ah, you know what? I'm not even going to waste my time trying to get the ball back. Let's get the hell out of here.
It was really fascinating because you and I did our segment yesterday and you said, who do you like? I said, clearly the Bills are the better team. In fact, that's how I've been quoted for the video that was put out there. And sometimes the better team doesn't always win. But if you look at the last three times that they played, by the way, the Bills won, the total dominance that the Bills have had. Josh Allen, this was, you know what I love about this game last night? You're going into it, the Patriots typically do what most teams do against Josh Allen when they're playing smart. They're like, you're not going to throw it over our heads. And that's what happened last night. Although the one that he did, that next 60-yarder was complete. What a beautiful throw to Gabe Davis, but unfortunately was called back to a Quessenberry holding penalty. But last night, Josh Allen was so disciplined. This goes to show you where he's come from 18 and 19 as an undisciplined player, inaccurate, forced too many throws. Last night, check down, check down, check down. I love the way that he played. And how about James Cook last night? If you remember, Mike, in the first game this season, he fumbled against the Rams. They buried him in the depth chart for 2 months. They make the trade for Nyheim Hines, but that does not stop James Cook. This is his best game as a professional. I like what he did last night. But I just loved how he checked it down. Your guy, Josh Allen, checked the ball down, didn't force anything, took what the defense gave them. And you're right. They dominated from pillar to post. Even when they're down 7-3 with Marcus Jones, the rookie corner, playing some offense just to change things up for the Patriots, they never flinched. They went up scoring 24 straight points and just dominated to close. And I love what you said about Belichick, because there's really no reason when you're down 14 points to put your team back out there and to risk injury. They had no chance to win. He knew that. They could not move the football. And how about this one? Here's another little nugget here. How about the players going on the record, particularly Kendrick Bourne, the veteran receiver who had a good year last year with Josh McDaniels. He's been buried on the depth chart with these coaches, particularly Matt Patricia, who calls the plays. How about Bourne not naming Patricia by name, but criticizing the offense on the record? And there have been some anonymous quotes from players through the reporters who cover the team. So Mike, right now, the Patriots offense and the coaches are getting a ton of criticism.
You even had Mac Jones getting caught on the camera last night, Adam, screaming at, I don't know if he was screaming at Patricia or Joe Judge or his offense. I don't know who he was screaming at, but basically saying he didn't, all they were doing was throwing short, check down. They were throwing short, and he wanted to throw the ball deep. Unfortunately, Adam, the couple times he did throw the ball deep, I mean, he was like 15 yards off of where the guy was. So maybe that's why they weren't dialing up the deep shots, because he wasn't hitting any of them. One more thing on the Bills. Yesterday I said to you I was worried about Josh and his arm, and he's not 100% healthy. I'm done with that. The play that you mentioned, the play that you mentioned that didn't count, the long touchdown pass, that was all I needed to see. I think that he's okay. It seems like he knows he can get it out there when he needs to. I'm comfortable now with Josh Allen.
Yeah, and you should be. Now, the weather was really good last night for passing. There was like next to no wind, which sometimes is rare in December. Yes, we were in December in Foxborough last night. So, yeah, that was a very good win. They'll get this so-called mini bye. Look, they're not going to have Von Miller. He was put on IR right before the game, and he's got this lateral meniscus issue. It's not going to be easy to manage that. When he comes back, he's going to come back. The question is how healthy he'll be for the playoffs, but you and I talked about this yesterday. That is the essential key here for Von Miller. Get his knee right. He's the one player now, if you look at all the injured players that they have, he's really the only long-term one that they're concerned about. But this is a great win. And it is really remarkable if you look at the Patriots' dominance since Belichick became the head coach, really starting in 2001, other than that blowout that they had to start the season in 03, and then they went up winning the Super Bowl. The Patriots have absolutely humiliated the Bills, and it's great to see the Bills now ho-humming it. Oh boy, they beat the Patriots. Oh, so what? They're so much better than the Patriots right now. I think everybody knows that.
Josh Allen now with 5 wins against Bill Belichick, which is the same amount of wins all the quarterbacks the 17 years before had in the Bills against Bill Belichick. That right there, Adam, that it's says amazing. It all. Let me do the OBJ stuff first, just because it kind of ties into the Bills before we get to Watson. Yeah. Odell Beckham Jr. met with the Giants yesterday. I saw Dable this morning, not obviously not giving anything away, but saying they had a great steak last night. He's stopping to see the Bills. We know how much Von Miller has been a huge recruiting tool for Beckham and Buffalo. What are we looking at here as he starts to make all these free agent stops?
Yeah, look, here's the deal now. With the medical, he got, as I understand it, he got medical testing done for the Giants. And by the way, teams share the medical stuff so they could get the scans. These will be the updated scans to see where the ACL is. Remember, it's the second time he's injured the same knee. It's an ACL injury, so they have to make sure he's ready to go. And that's why, by the way, he waited to take this tour and waited. He really, quite frankly, I've said this before in Sports Grid, and I'm going to repeat it. He really should have signed weeks ago. Why? Just to get into a building. He didn't have to practice. Get with the quarterbacks, get with the coaches, go to the meetings, watch the team practice, and then it's eventually when he's ready to go in December, get things going there. So he didn't do that. Now he's doing it. He's taking this mini tour. And look, if he does not get the contract he wants or offer that he wants from these three teams, you could see the Niners jump in there. The Chiefs, we'll talk about them later in the second segment because they're a little bit banged up. They could get involved. But the bottom line is here with the Giants – they knew when Dave Gettleman traded OBJ, there were people in that building did not want to make that trade, as I understood it back then, and I still feel the same way. And they'd love to get him back there. You know why? Because if you look at their situation with wide receiver, Kenny Golladay has given them absolutely nothing. This is his final year of the fully guaranteed money, so he'll be gone after the season. They've had significant injury problems there. They've still got a shot at the playoffs here. Mike, if you look at their situation, we'll talk about their game in the second segment. So this would be a coup if they could get him. But the Cowboys, Mike, they want him so badly. They're not hiding it. The players aren't hiding it. It's so rare for not just the players, but the owner, the vice president of the team, Stephen Jones, they want him like there's no tomorrow.
They certainly do. And you listen to Jones. Jones openly talks about it, saying if he can – we want him to be able to give us something now. We want him to be able to step in now and play. It seems like just reading the tea leaves from a couple months ago when all these stories about Beckham came out, Adam, that if you offered him more years than anyone else, I feel like that means more to him than money. Now, it's probably got to be guaranteed money with years, but I don't think it's necessarily the highest bidder. I think who offers him the most stability long-term, adding maybe a third year, I think that's the team that would be able to get him.
All right, so on that, Mike, what he's going to want is fully guaranteed money in the second year. That because if it gets to be 8, 10, or 12 million fully guaranteed year in year two, the chances of that team that signs him cutting him are slim to none. It's highly unlikely that he would get fully guaranteed money in year three because of his age. He just turned 30 last month, and because of his injury history. But if he's at 75% of what he was for the Rams when he was amazing on that run late last season through the playoffs and obviously the Super Bowl when he got hurt, he could be a game changer here. This guy, if he is healthy, he could add something that these teams can't find it. And by the way, also another note here, it is rare for veteran free agents. I know it's late in the season, but even in March during free agency, when I first started covering the league in the early 2000s, most veterans would visit. Players don't visit much anymore because you can get the contract over the phone, unless it's for an off-the-field issue where you want to get the player in front of you and have a discussion, or you want to get the player in your building for medical information. You're just not going to have the player visit. This is actually very, very unique.
Let's talk about Watson now, Adam. We'll start it. Yeah. If we got to continue it after the break, we will. It's been almost 2 years since he's been on an NFL field in a real game. He gets that chance again on Sunday. The 11-game suspension is over. What can we realistically expect from Deshaun Watson against his old team, the Houston Texans?
I know. All right, a couple things here. So first of all, I think people forget about this because they were a terrible team in 2020. Their defense was horrendous. He actually was phenomenal in 2020. I get he didn't play last season. He had the one preseason game. He didn't play well, but I'd throw that out. There were certain things going on with the roster at the time. With the Browns this summer, he probably wasn't ready. But here's what you're going to get in this game, and you can do this against the Texans. They're going to come out running the football. They'll take some shots downfield. But the Browns are a run-first offense. Lots of play action. Nick Chubb, one of the best running backs in football, also with Kareem Hunt backing him up. You're not going to ask Deshaun Watson to throw the ball 40 times in this game unless they get behind, which is unlikely. Against a very, very bad Texan offense. They were terrible last week in that blowout loss at Miami. You're not going to ask Deshaun Watson, who hasn't played since late in the 2020 season, to start slinging it around 35 to 40 times. I would believe high 20 times pass attempts in this game against the Texans. The Browns do one thing really well. They're one of the best running teams in the National Football League, and that's what I expect them to do in this game. And that's the bottom line. There's really no reason to do anything else. And by the way, David Njoku will not play. They're blocking tight end, who also has been pretty good at receiving the football. Harrison Bryant, their third-year tight end out of Florida Atlantic, will fall for him.
Sounds like we're loading up on some props this weekend for Nick Chubb and for Kareem Hunt. I think that's what we're going to be doing on Sunday in the Brown-Texan game. All right, we'll come back. We've got more with Adam Kaplan here, coast to coast on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Friday. Carver High Mafia in for Scotty. here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Double shot with our Sports Grid NFL insider, Adam Kaplan here. All right, Adam. Big one at MetLife in Jersey with two teams in the NFC East going in very opposite directions right now. The Giants, after the 7-2 start, have lost a couple of games in a row. Washington, after the bad start, now on the rise at 7-5. All right, for me, if the Giants lose this one, I think they're the team that's going to be left in the cold when it comes to a playoff spot in the NFC.
You know, it's funny. You talk to people around the league coming into the season. This is a team that people thought, because the coaching would be really good, they had a chance to be around 500. And now they've been better than that. In fact, their over-under total was 7.5. And, you know, they're going to blow that thing out. Obviously, they're going to at least win one game the rest of the way. But when you look at their situation, and we talked in the first segment about OBJ's interest in them, and he's a guy that would really help them because they're in dire straits at the receiver position. And when Barkley doesn't do well, which is 3 out of the last 4 games, it becomes a problem. Particularly the last two were only 61 yards total. They just can't throw the football very well. Daniel Jones is doing what he can. They've had a lot of offensive line injuries, and that's a concern. They've got two guys out this week. Ozudu is a rookie who they love out of, I think he's out of UConn, who's got a neck injury. Shane Lemieux, who'd just come back, and now he's got a toe injury. So you're going to worry about the protection for Daniel Jones, because right now, Mike, when you look at Washington's front, no front four is playing better in the National Football League than this group. They're playing great, even without Chase Young, who hasn't played since last season. They're playing great football. They're not asking Taylor Heinicke to throw the ball very much, 28.5 times per game, and 6 starts on average. That's what Ron Rivera wants. Ron Rivera is one of those defensive head coaches. Run the football. Don't ask your quarterback to throw it very much, and win with defense. And that's what they're doing, winning 6 out of the last 7 games. This has been quite the turnaround. This has been very surprising. But again, they're not asking Heinicke to throw the ball very much. A couple times per game, he's got to make a big throw, and he's done that. He's not turning it over like Carson Wentz did. And I'm with you here. I think the Giants are going a different direction. If they lose this game and drop 3 in a row and to 7-5, not only would it be problematic for me, I know the Seahawks have lost their last 2 games. A heartbreaker last week in overtime to Josh Jacobs and the Raiders. But the Seahawks have got much more explosive players on offense. Geno Smith, not only most improved player, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's true. He's got to be getting at least some votes, and I vote in 2 polls. I'm probably going to vote for him. If I turn in a top 5, he's going to be my top 5 for MVP candidates. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's true.
It does not sound ridiculous. One last thing with the Giants. And I know Barkley has not been good the last couple of weeks. They've had a lot of problems on the offensive line. I think I saw today they're going to get a little help. It sounds like Neal might get back in there. A few pieces on the O-line. Maybe that will help the Giants kind of get back to doing what they do well.
Yeah, Ryan Neal, their first-rounder out of Alabama, I'm told he probably will play this week. He took all of the reps, or most of them, at right tackle, so he should be back this week. That'll help. I am worried about the interior of their offensive line. That does concern me a little bit. But this is one of those games. And by the way, Washington is a favorite on the road here. 1.5-point favorite. The over-under is 40 points. And it should be. Both teams should score mid to high teens. So that I could see why that over-under is around 40. And we know the Giants right now, their offense is broken. They're doing the best that they can. Their coaching has been really good. That's why they're so competitive. Coaching matters to the National Football League, and give their staff credit. That's why they've been at least fun to watch and been competitive as they have been.
Another good one in Philadelphia on Sunday. We have the A.J. Brown Bowl, Adam, the Titans come to take on Philadelphia. Of course, these two teams made that huge trade in the offseason for Brown. The Titans are a tricky team, Adam. Like, these are the kind of spots, you know, where they're getting 3, 4, 5 points on the road. They come into a place and they play that tough run defense. They pound Henry at you. Can they do that against the Eagles on Sunday?
Yeah, so a couple of things here with the Titans. So you mentioned the A.J. Brown trade. We were actually on the air on Sports Grid at the draft in Las Vegas, and the trade went down, and it was, you know, we had to kind of break it down, and I remember checking into it. The Titans, simply with A.J. Brown, they did not want to extend his contract with a lot of fully guaranteed money because of his injury history. They love the player. They love the person, but they were not willing to make the financial commitment with guaranteed money, fully guaranteed money at signing that Philly was. The Eagles did their homework on him. They thought that the structure would work for them, and it did, and he's been terrific so far. By the way, he's over his illness. He wasn't feeling well last week, but he's over. He's not even listed on the injury report. But getting back to Tennessee, they're actually amazing. They're really, really good on the road. And you talk about the toughness that they have with Mike Vrabel. They're yet another team. Wants to run the football, don't throw the ball a lot, win with defense. Jeffrey Simmons should play their star defensive tackle. He didn't practice a lot. The only time he practiced this week was today. He didn't do a lot. And he's missed two games because of this knee injury. Now, DeNico Autry, another defensive tackle for them, will not play. They missed another game due to a knee injury. And he's, by the way, Autry's from the Philadelphia area. Tier Tart, the other D tackle who will play. He's from Philly. But Autry will be out. You might remember him from the Colts. Good football player. And they're amazing, as you said, against the run. And in fact, when you look at Tennessee, look what the Eagles did. An unbelievable, a team record 363 yards on the ground against Green Bay. That's going to be the story of this game. Can Tennessee slow down the Eagles running attack, the best offensive line in football? Can they slow them down? And when they throw it, can they cover? Big injury for Tennessee, though. Molden, their slot corner, Elijah Molden, will not play with a groin injury. And this is where Quez Watkins, number 16, he has scored in two out of the last three games. He's their most explosive deep threat, one of the actually best deep threats of the National Football League. Look for a shot play in this game from the Eagles downfield against the Titans, and that's one area. And for Philly, Mike, they've got a bunch of injuries here. Dallas Goedert, their tight end, is having a breakout season, a Pro Bowl season. He's still in IR because of the shoulder injury. Their nickel corner, Max, is out with a hamstring problem. He's also injured reserve. That does worry me a little bit. I think this game's going to be tight. I think this comes down to a field goal at the end. I think the Eagles will win it. The weather's going to be clear, but this will not be a high-scoring game. It's just not going to be. This is the way the Tennessee plays it, close to the vest. Before this run fest last week, look at the Eagles' previous games before that, particularly the game in Indy where they had trouble moving the football.
I know one thing, and you said this to me on Monday. With the Titans out there this week, they're not going to get like with the Packers running around traffic cones, not tackling anybody. The Titans are physical.
That was crazy.
The Eagles aren't going to be able to just like the Packers didn't want to tackle them last week. You will not get that with the Tennessee Titans and Mike Vrabel type team in Philadelphia. They will bring the hit to you if you try to run. Chiefs and the Bengals rematch AFC title game 4:25 p.m. Eastern kick. I love this game on Sunday, Adam. We have Mahomes going to Cincinnati, Burrow getting Chase back, maybe Mixon as well. Let's rock. I think the Bengals are going to beat him.
Yeah, my understanding with Mixon is he's feeling pretty good. He needs to get final medical clearance by an independent neurologist to get clear for the game. Ja'Marr Chase, now, he did say this week he finally confirmed the injury. We knew it was a bad hip. It's actually a hairline fracture of his hip. He didn't feel right last week. He told Zach Taylor, the head coach, he just was not quite ready. He's expected to play. Now, the issue for him is how many snaps can he handle? Because they don't have very good depth. Now, the kid who's done really nice is Trent Irwin, who's a guy who's been a bottom of their depth chart. He actually has done a nice job filling in the last couple weeks. But, look, they're going to get him back this week. And this is huge because, quite frankly, when you look at their situation, they played very well without him. But when you're playing the Chiefs, you got to score, and it's going to be nice weather in the Queen City this sunny. In fact, the weather out east, though it's going to be cold, we're at least not going to get really much precipitation or wind, so I'm looking forward to this. And the craziness of that AFC Championship game, Mike, remember at halftime, the Bengals were down big. In fact, remember they scored late in the first half when I think Pirine scored, but it didn't look like the Chiefs are going to be able to blow that game, but they did. And remember, Mahomes had an awful second half. And what I love is when you talk to people around the league about these quarterbacks, even when they throw a bad, they make a bad pass, they rebound. They're super aggressive and they're fearless. Your guy, Josh Allen, Burrow and Mahomes, the most fearless quarterbacks in the National Football League, and they're going to have it in this game. Now, for the Chiefs, remember now, they've completely revamped their receiver corps since that game last year. Juju Smith-Schuster, he's new. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he's new. Mecole Hardman will not play. Tyreek Hill has been traded. Sky Moore, their second-round pick. He's starting to play a little bit. He's actually done a nice job, but they've taken him off punt returns due to the fumbles. No Kadarius Toney will miss his second straight game. Remember now, he's missed eight games combined with the Chiefs and Giants, and that's problematic. He would be their punt returner if he'd been playing, but the bottom line is this is an awesome game. Weather will not be a factor this week, and this should be a throw fest, and I get why the over-under is what it is. It should be at 52.5. In fact, I'd probably have it higher that it's going to be clear. I get that most games will go under rather than over the total, but this is one game which should be a throw fest, and I see a lot of scoring in this game.
And I know with the Bills sitting at home on Sunday, Sean McDermott, his staff, everybody involved with them, there's not many games left the Chiefs are going to lose, Adam. You look at their schedule down the stretch. This is one of the ones they actually maybe can. If they did, they'd be even with the Bills again at 9-3, and the Bills do have that tiebreaker with the win in Arrowhead earlier this year. So a lot of people in Buffalo going to be rooting for the Bengals this Sunday as well. Give me a little bit on the Niners and the Dolphins. Start of a big three-game road trip for Miami, San Francisco, Los Angeles, then to Buffalo. We will find out what Miami's really made of in the next 3 weeks.
I have to tell you, and we just talked about the Titans' defense. The Niners, from 1-11 on their defense, probably has the most complete defense. DeMeco Ryans has done an unbelievable job. Their defensive coordinator, who's going to be head coach next year, if he wants to be. He was close to getting it with Minnesota. Although I'm sure the Vikings are very happy to have Kevin O'Connell's done a great job. But look, this game, this Miami game is great. And Miami's had they've had some good wins against Minnesota. They played a competitive game, though the Vikings were able to come out and win that game. But the fact of the matter is, this worries me with the Dolphins and their offense, particularly on their offensive line. Trent Armstead now has got another injury. He's missed time to a toe injury. And right tackle Austin Jackson re-injured his ankle. He's not playing this week. I do worry about that. I like the matchups here. It's going to be interesting because Mike McDaniel runs his version of his mentor Kyle Shanahan's offensive scheme. He knows what's coming with Tua because he doesn't throw the ball well downfield in terms of past 20 yards. It's quick strike. He's like a point guard. Get out of his hands quickly. So the Niners know what they're going to get here, and they've got a very good pass rush. This is going to be a fun game. This is probably one of the most intriguing games of the week because of the friendship of the two head coaches. They're two of the lead teams. The Niners return their season around. But the strange thing, though, we get back to the Niners, is the strange use of Christian McCaffrey. I'm quite kind of puzzled by the way that Shanahan's used him since that breakout game where he scored one, throwing it, running it, receiving it. I don't quite know what's happened lately. I don't know why he's doing it like he's done it. Remember Elijah Mitchell, though, his backup re-injured that MCL sprain, which left him out for several weeks. So he's going to be out for the rest of the regular season. Hopefully he'll be back for the playoffs. But the bottom line is, they got to get McCaffrey going on bigger plays because you got to be able to score against the Dolphins.
30 seconds, Adam. Do you expect Raiders Chargers to be as zany as Raiders Chargers always is when they get together?
All right. So if Josh Jacobs could play, he's got this grade one calf strain, I believe. If he can play, they got a puncher's chance to win. They won their last two games. So not completely out of it for a wild card. They're going to have to run the table here. The Chargers have the worst run defense for the National Football League. They're down 3 D tackles for the season. That is why I think the Raiders could probably hang in this game.
Adam, enjoy the games this weekend. So many great ones with teams with winning records facing off. Scotty will be back on Monday. You'll get ready for Bucks and Saints with him for Monday Night Football. Have a good weekend, Adam.
You too, my friend. Thank you.
There he is, Adam Kaplan, our Sports Grid NFL insider. We will come back coast to coast on the grid. We'll wrap it up after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast, Pain-Free Friday, Carver High and Mafia for Scotty. He will be back on Monday. It's been a fun week here with everybody. Thanks to Moff, thanks to Cam, Dubsy with the USA game. We all had a blast here this week on Coast to Coast. All right, Moff, before we get out of here, a lot of NBA games tonight. I know the Raptors are in Brooklyn, Miami and Boston again. The Nuggets are in Atlanta. A lot going on. Is there anything that you like?
Yeah, they almost tempted me with that Brooklyn-Toronto game, that 1.5, because, you know, the other day you were talking about, I'm laying double digits with Brooklyn, they don't cover. Then it gets down to, 8.5, they don't cover. Now they're like, all right, can they just win the game? Will you go for that? And I'm like, probably, but there's four more I like better. You mentioned that Miami-Boston game. Boston just beat them the other day pretty well. In Boston, now they're playing in Boston again. They just won by 13 the other day, 11-1 at home, 8-2 against the spread for the season. I'm going to go with them laying the 7.5 again. Why not? They already beat them by 7-13 this year. Nuggets in Atlanta. Nuggets laying 3.5 on the road. I'm going to take them because Atlanta's banged up. especially now when you look at the front line. You got Collins and, of course, Hunter both out. You got Kaminsky day-to-day. Who's going to stop the Joker? You got to throw bodies at that guy. You got to have a bunch of guys with fouls, and they're running out of them. And now Trae Young today is day-to-day as well. So I don't like Atlanta right now at home in that one. Warriors against the Bulls, laying 7.5. Chicago's on the fifth game of a six-game road trip. They just got smacked by the Suns the other day. I know the Warriors have had their struggles, but they're 9-1 at home. They kick ass at home. I'm with them, beating down on the Bulls. And then I'm going to take one road dog here. Indiana Pacers at the Jazz, getting 4.5. The Jazz are terrible. 3-7 in the last 10. Indiana 7-3 in the last 10. Mathurin's playing great for them as a rookie. They're starting to be a little bit better here. And they've been good against Utah. 6-2 in their last 8 against Utah against the spread. And 4-1 in Utah in the last 5. So I'm rolling with them.
I'm on the Pacers too. They got whacked in Sacramento the other night. They've had a day off. They can rest in Utah. They'll be ready to go tonight. The Jazz suck. Mafia, have a great weekend, my man. Listen, we got World Cup. We've got college football championship games. We've got huge NFL games on Sunday. We will see you back on Monday. Scotty will be here. Game Time Decisions is next. Have a good night, everybody.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.